This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. During the summer, school may be out, but children still get hungry. Fortunately, again this summer, Cincinnati Public Schools, in partnership with local pools, community centers, parks, recreation centers, are stepping up to meet the need in over 80 locations. And the idea that summer isn't for learning, forget that. It's just time for a different kind of learning. One place offering enrichment experiences is the Public Library of Cincinnati in Hamilton County. Brain camps offer experiential ways to learn, in some cases utilizing the library's makerspace. And 16 libraries will also provide lunches and snacks. To talk about all these nutritional and learning opportunities, we're joined today by the Supervisor of Nutrition, Commodities and Summer Program for the Cincinnati Public Schools, Lauren Marlowe, and the Youth Services and Programming Coordinator for the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County, Lisa Soper. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thanks.
Good to have you here. And Lauren, if you could just get us started, help us understand the scope, the need here. During the school year, both in terms of percentage, but maybe terms of raw numbers, how many students in Cincinnati Public Schools are eligible for either breakfast or breakfast and lunch meals at the schools?
I don't have an exact number, but we serve 36,000 students during the school year. The majority of our schools are CEP schools, meaning that at least 60% or more of the kids at that school are eligible for free or reduced meals. So the majority of our schools have 60% or higher, and a lot of them run up to 100% free and reduced. So there is a big, big need within Cincinnati Public Schools for free meals.
And certainly within certain neighborhoods and communities, that is really large,
is that
correct?
Yes, they're dependent on that for their nutrition.
And that doesn't go away during the summer.
It does not.
And I know that there's been a lot of effort over the years to really make sure that the menus, that the quality of the food has improved over the time that my children went to school, which is a long time ago. Mm-hmm. How are you able to keep that going during the summer? Because you don't have all the children at school anymore. You're serving sometimes in a community center or a rec center that may not have the kitchen facilities. I suspect that you're taking a lot of things out from a commissary someplace.
Yeah, we still incorporate fruits and vegetables and skim milk and whole grains and lean meats into each meal during the summer, but we don't have the full capacity that we do at the schools during the school year. We have a salad bar in every single school during the school year, so we can't do that at these community and pool sites. But we do a good job of, we have like baby carrots and sliced apples and whole grain sandwiches that are some of the kids' favorites that we're able to give them throughout the summer. So
those are, that's where I was going to go next. Kids really like that.
They do like that, yeah. Yeah, you dip some carrots and ranch dressing in their fan.
Okay. So at the public library, you are in 16 libraries this summer.
That's right.
Providing some meal service, some food service. And where does your food come from? Because you're not part of the Cincinnati Public School program, but what's that look like?
We partner with two local sponsors to provide the meals. Our major sponsor is UMC Food Ministry, which is located in northern Kentucky, but they serve Kentucky as well as in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And they're serving at 15 of our locations, including our main library downtown. And then in our Mount Healthy branch, we partner with the community schools. They're the city, Mount Healthy City Schools, to provide their meals.
And with the meal, the menus, the meals, the approach you would take to what's being offered be similar to what's being offered through the Cincinnati Public Schools?
I think that we have a little bit of different. They're serving more hot meals through the UMC. So I think that in our experience in the past, most of the food provided through at least through our partnership in the past with CPS was cold meals. So they would sandwiches and things like that. But UMC has, they deliver hot meals. So they might have like hamburgers or spaghetti or chili or something like that. So, but they also have a focus on fresh fruits and vegetables, just like CPS does. And so it is very similar. And they both have the same requirements. It's a state-run program as part of the USDA's national program. So the state of Ohio monitors and there's rules of what types of food they have to serve, two fruits or vegetables, and they have to serve a grain and a protein and a milk. So those components are all the same.
So there's some quality control and there's some similarities, but maybe some more hot food than more cold food. But in the summer, who can object to a sandwich, having just finished one myself? So who's eligible if a child was on a free or reduced lunch program during the school year? Does that make them eligible for this programs that you're running during the summer program? Does each individual child has to show eligibility, or is this just an effort to make sure that children who might need it have access and other children may also get it?
Yeah, there's any child 18 years or younger are eligible to eat at any open site, and they don't have to show proof of eligibility. There's no requirements outside of age. So
if they're there for other activities and the food comes, do you have to register?
No registration.
So how do you know how much food to take?
That's the magic question.
Okay.
We have a magic ball.
And I know at the library, that's something we have struggled with, because one day we might have 20 kids and the next day we might have 30 or 40 kids. So it can depend. And but we do our best to kind of guess and have a little extra beyond what we might think we might need. And we have some shelf-stable options that we can have kind of in the wing. So if we had 20 kids the day before and we brought 20 hot meals for today, then we can have some shelf-stable items that do not require refrigeration in the wings that we can pull out for some extra.
And how would parents, guardian, whatever, know where to even find? I mean, libraries, there are 16, or you've got 40 branches, but you've 16 of these, the food program's running. You would go to your website.
Yes.
With Cincinnati Public School Program, it is not just schools. And the way I counted it was slightly more than 80 sites. That's a lot of different places. Mm-hmm. How would parents know where food was available?
That's a great question. Our website, cps-k12.org, has a link. It's a site locator app, and all you have to do is type in your address and nearby feeding sites will pop up on the map. And then there's menus for the sites that you can refer to as well.
Okay. So that link is going to be on our website.
Okay.
So, but I just want to make sure. But the point is, you can go to that. So how are you sure in either case that you're actually reaching the children who need it the most? I mean, there could be a possibility that, you know, there are children who need this during the school year. They need it in the summer. They may or may not be coming to either the library sites or to one of your sites. What do you do to try to make sure that children who really need the food are getting it?
Well, it's definitely a high area of need, and only about 1 in 10 kids in the state of Ohio who are eligible for the free and reduced meals during the school year are participating in the summer feeding programs. So that's 9 out of 10 kids who are not getting that meal that they had relied on during the school year. So there's a big need. So we don't really focus much on, you know, making sure that we know that there's a lot of kids who are coming in who may or may not rely on that meal, but we want to get it as many kids as possible fed in the library. So we promote it to the schools before the summer lets out, so that area schools and teachers can pass that information on to their kids. And we do have a lot of kids who do come into the library a lot, so we've been passing out flyers and trying to get that information out there, working with daycares and day camps and things like that to pass that information along as well.
Lauren, are you trying to concentrate a lot of your sites in the places that you need to get to the highest percentage of really needy kids?
Yeah, we kind of look at a map, and if there's an area where there's not a school that's operating summer school, we try to see if there's a community site that we can work with, and we're always trying to grab new partners who would want to be a sponsor. So, yeah, we always try to reach, and we send out flyers at the end of the school year to all the students, letting them know about the sites that might be around them and how to access that site locator app so they can find a site near them.
Very good. We're talking about summer programs for kids in Cincinnati. Our guest, our Supervisor of Nutrition and Commodities and Summer Program for the Cincinnati Public Schools, Lauren Marlowe, and Youth Services Programming Coordinator for the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County, Lisa Soper. To join our discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Okay, welcome back. And let's just, Lisa, in your case, you've got all of these different programs. Now, libraries have always been a place in the summer that a lot of kids have gone and parents have gone to get additional reading material, get that, get the books, keep the kids reading during the summer. That's always been part of it. But you've really branched out here. And I'm going to ask you about a couple of things. One is, you use in one of your pieces of information, exposure to STREAM. Now, I know about STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. I know about STEAM, which adds A, the arts. What the heck is STREAM?
Well, we're the library, so we got to include reading in there as well.
Oh,
so
is that
the R
simple?
Is for reading, yes. Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
And reading has sort of been, I think, it's always been a component of STEM and STEAM because a lot of the materials that you learn, you know, use to learn about those topics is reading, involves reading. But we've kind of hit a little bit more of an emphasis on it, especially with this being the library and our traditional focus on reading.
So there's a couple of different programs out there. One of them's called Brain Camp. Mm-hmm. Which sounds encouraging. And there's two different versions. There's Brain Camp and a mini Brain Camp. And so what are those?
Our Brain Camps, we've been doing those for several years now. And the traditional Brain Camp started as a week-long, several hours a day, so 5 days a week, usually in the afternoon, camp that was offered at our main library and also at several of our branches. And we've kind of grown that program a little bit. So every week in the summer, they have a brain camp at the main library for different age groups. And then they travel around to different branches. So each week, there's three branch locations that are hosting a brain camp. And those are geared towards kids who have completed first through fifth grade. And they hit all on a lot of those STEAM or STREAM topics and focus on a lot of hands-on activities. It's not school. You know, we are trying to focus on the sort of a more informal learning opportunities for kids. So they have a lot of crafts and hands-on fun activities that they do throughout that week. And then the mini brain camps, the week-long brain camps were so popular, but sometimes it can be hard to dedicate a week of worth of time to activities during the summer. People are busy. So we have the mini brain camps, which are just a one-time, two-hour program. And we have two themes for those this summer, or three themes, actually. We have storybook science and NASA at my library and also patterns in art.
I was wondering if there was any programs on food. And local food, and you know, I would think that they're, given what we were talking about at the first part, and what Lauren's here, that you can do a lot of things with that with kids.
Yes.
A lot of kids don't know where their food comes from except Kroger's.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Some of our week-long brain camps especially do focus on, some of them have a little snack preparation. They often serve a snack as part of the program. So some of them, there's some snack preparation, so you kind of get a little more hands-on with the food.
One of the other things that I discovered on poking around was Black Rocket Technology Camps. All right, technology camps, I kind of know. Black Rocket, what? Okay, what's that?
That is actually something we're not doing this year, but we did do a couple of years ago.
Oh,
so
okay.
We partnered with there's an organization that has a curriculum of coding. You know, we're librarians, we're not coders, so but they do offer a curriculum that makes it accessible for anyone who is interested. So we do have some other coding things going on. Our Sharonville branch has a coding programs for kids and teens, and we're kind of stepping a little bit more into those waters with providing some coding experience for kids.
Okay. And these camps, these would require, unlike the food programs at public schools, you have to actually sign up. You have to know which ones are being offered for what age groups in which libraries. So it's really important to be able to go to the library, right?
Yes. Yeah. So you can register in person at our libraries or online through a link that's available on our website at cincinnatilibrary.org. There's a link to an icon for our Summer Adventure Program, which is our overarching, formerly known as Summer Reading Program, which has been expanded to include lots of other learning opportunities. And so you can find a list of all of the brain camps there and register. I will tell you, though, they're very popular and some have already filled up. So,
okay. So yeah. Get on it now.
Yes.
And one of the places that I know that one of the facilities, the resources you have now are Makerspace.
Yes.
In the downtown library and in a couple of the other outlying branches. What's a Makerspace?
Makerspace is a place where you can go and get hands-on with your ability to create and make things. So we have at our main library is our largest Makerspace, and it has 3D printers. It has a photo booth where you can with a green screen where you can take your own pictures and edit the backgrounds. It has a sound recording booth. We have sewing machines. We have button makers. We have vinyl printers and engravers. Button makers are the most popular thing that we do in our makerspaces. For 10 cents, you can make little buttons and big buttons, and you can take those home. So you can design your own.
Buttons that have signs on them.
Yes, so like a little button you might pin to your shirt or a bag or something.
Okay, All right. You know, and I want to get at this, and this is probably the last thing we're being able to explore, but there is over a tradition. We know that over the summer, students slip in terms of academic skills. They slip back in terms of reading skills, math skills. They forget. And I would suspect that might also be true with the food and what they're used to eating, and have to almost bring them back to help them understand what is good food and good eating again. Mm-hmm. Is that fair, Lauren?
Yeah, the summer program is so important because it continues the development physically and socially for these kids so that they're ready to come back in the fall to learn. And if they didn't have those programs, it would take kind of like a catching up process of getting well fed and the social development as well.
Yeah. So from a librarian's point of view and an educator's point of view, how much slippage is there for a child who maybe doesn't do anything that's regular, you know, at least reading some period of the day or doing anything special?
Average, I think kids lose about 2 months of reading skills, 2 months of math skills over the summer. So
that is significant.
It is. And especially if you compare those students who are falling behind with the kids who are experiencing learning opportunities during the summer, they might be getting ahead. So the gap between the kids who are continually learning during the summer and the kids who are not exposed to those experiences grows. So after 1 year, it's 4 months. After 2 years, it's 8 months. And so after just a few years of school, they're a full year behind their peers in some of their abilities. So it can really grow and cause a huge problem in classrooms where kids are experiencing that large of a gap.
And if you compound that with maybe not eating well during the summer, mm-hmm. and just losing some sharpness and ability to learn, mm-hmm. readiness to learn. Those are serious issues.
Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason why the library has jumped in on this, because we're feeding bodies and minds over the summer.
Exactly. Very good. Congratulations to both of you. Be busy all summer and good success on this. I'd like to thank our guests today, from Cincinnati Public Schools, Lauren Marlowe, and from the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County, Lisa Soper. After a break, a new biography of Ronald Reagan by Fox anchor Brett Baer focuses on the climactic fourth summit between President Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.